You're ready, we're recording.
We're recording.
Ready to go. Good morning, everyone. This is the meeting of the New York State Thoroughbred Breeding and Development Fund. I'm Chairman John Savini. We have a quorum present, and we are also joined by appropriate staff and councils and the like. We're joined also by Jeff Palmer from the Department of Agriculture and Markets, representing Commissioner Darrell Albertine. We have his proxy. Welcome, Jeff. And I want to thank the members for attending today. Tracy Egan, our executive director, is here at the front with me. Kyle Flaherty, our counsel, is on phone, as well as our one of our members, Jeff Canizzo. Quorum being present, they'll call the meeting to order. A couple of things before we start with the meat and potatoes of the agenda. I wanted to note that the we are losing from our staff after years of service, Judy Dietz Spadaro. We want to thank her for her service to this fund and been with us through some tough times and now some good times, and want to thank her for her work with us. Also, I would note that Dave Brown from the Finger Lakes Horsemen is here, who has been a guest here before. And Dave, I understand you wanted to address the board with some comments.
There's really no reason unless the issue of some legislation comes up.
You'll reserve the opportunity to complain later?
We're just observing.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
With the opening of Resorts World New York City at Aqueduct Racetrack with our friends at Genting, has marked a significant and long-awaited highlight for this fund and for the breeding industry in New York in particular, which directly benefits from revenue generated by video lottery tunnels. As of today, and as of an update from Mike DeMarco this morning that I got, we have seen $1.637 million since the opening of Resorts World, which was on a cold day, so we haven't even gone through a season with them yet. That's 4 months. If you read news accounts or if you're in this business, and most of you around the table are, you know people are demonstrating their confidence in breeding in New York in a big way by voting with their money, voting with their hooves, voting with their feet, and coming to New York. And just yesterday, the news of the Says Who Farm being purchased by Mr. Ostrager is great news, since that's when that farm shut down operations. That was another benchmark that people said New York racing was dead. And someone with the backing of their banker restoring that farm is a very positive sign. This fund expects to receive a total of $7.6 million in revenue from Resorts World in calendar year 2012. And the life that we're seeing in the breeding industry is proof positive that that money is going to have a great effect. We also saw a double-digit increase in the sale of New York bred yearlings at the Phasic Tipton in Saratoga. And just in general, news has been very positive. After the closure of New York City OTB not that long ago, we have some optimism. Looking ahead through 2012 and beyond, we're going to play a critical role in delivering benefits to the thoroughbred industry by contributing to the growth and ability of the agriculture sector in New York State. You have a package of information in front of you for this meeting and agenda, and minutes and all the backup documents. You have the minutes of December 21st, 2011 in front of you. Any comments, additions, or corrections? Hearing none, I'll accept the motion to accept the minutes. Mr. Kelly moves to accept, second by Mr. McMahon. All those in favor of accepting the minutes?
Aye.
Aye. Minutes are approved. Financials and discussions and approval of completed monthly financials. Mike DeMarco has been doing a bang-up job. Of course, it's always easy to do a bang-up job when you got more money in, but he's been doing a bang-up job nonetheless. Has a report for us on November and December.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I'll just skip to the year end because that's where all of the the interesting stuff is, we ended the year very close to what we had budgeted for revenue. We had $10.9 million received. We were expecting 11.1, and most of that's attributable to the lateness of opening of Resorts World down at Aqueduct than originally expected. Our awards expense for the year was down significantly as expected due to the reduced restricted races. We, in terms of what we had expected, we were $1.3 million less than expected. Total breeder awards for calendar 2011, $5,013,983. Stallion awards, $1,334,934. Owner awards, $993,323. On the expense side, we had a bit left over from our promotional administrative budget. Our net, right now, our net revenues over expenses for the year, and this is unaudited, but this will be very close to what we finally have, $1,338,341. And this is primarily due to the lower than expected award activity. Our reduced expenses on the admin and promo side offset the reduced revenues almost to the penny. So we will have, once our CPAs complete their audit and their field work is expected to begin March 5th, once that audit is done, we will have a final number, but this excess revenue will need to be redistributed back in the form of some form of supplemental award. Going to the balance sheet, on the second page, I'm just going to read some of the significant liabilities for the record. Primarily, the award reserve, which was 30% for calendar 2011. Right now, is an aggregate total of $2.2 million, which we'll be able to release in its entirety in the next month or so. The breeder amount is $1.5 million, I'm just rounding. Stallion, $400,000, and the reserve for the owners.
What page
are
we on?
I'm sorry, this page? This would be page two of the balance sheet for December. Okay, and I'm a little more than halfway down.
Yep, got it.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And the reserve for owners is about $298,000. And that was at a 30% rate, except for 2011. And then also, due to the Harry's Wide Memorial Fund, will be $218,710. Again, that'll be adjusted slightly depending on what last minute adjusting entries we have to make for our financial statement. And in terms of the timeliness of the monies coming in, I'll just go briefly to the last page of the December handout, the handled breakage revenue receivable comparison. It's a spreadsheet with the blue headers on top. It's the letter-sized document. And right now, our accounts receivable or revenue receivable at the end of 12/31 was about $1.1 million. Almost all of that represents monies owed for December. The tracks and MTBs continue to pay generally within 30 days or within a very close range. Two of our OTBs, Capital and Catskill, continue to avail their option of paying quarterly, and that explains why the amounts for them are a bit higher. Suffolk OTB continues to pay generally anywhere from 3 to 5 weeks in the prior month, so they've been very timely throughout the year despite the difficulties that they've been going through. And they've been providing me with the information and of course the monies on a very timely basis for us. That I was going to update with some other statistics, unless there are any questions on any of the financials, if you'd like me to explain or clarify anything. Okay. I thought I would give a quick update on our first months of awards for 2012 at the new rates. I computed the awards for January 2012, and we almost, the number of awards in January this year are almost spot on, the exact number of awards in 2011. That's a number of awards. However, in dollars, we have a significant change already. Breeder awards earned for the aqueduct race, $584,933. That compares to $262,540 for January of calendar 2011. That's a 123% increase, and that'll be primarily due to the increased purses at NYRA as well as our rates. We had 265 breeder awards this January, and we had 263 last January. On stallion awards, we had 129 stallion awards January of this year, compares to 136 January of last year. Dollars, $140,430 for this year, compares to $72,135 last year. That's a 95% increase. And on the owner side, even though there's no rate effect there, we had 20 owner awards earned versus 22 last January. Total dollars, $61,600 this year. Last year, $39,320. That's an increase of 57%. So we're off to a very good start already. It's nice to see the award activity being up, particularly after the significant drops the last couple of years. And let's see. I think that is it. There are two issues that we will have to address. One is later on the agenda item, what to do with the supplemental. Also, we will have to address the withholding percentage to use for this year. Last year was 30%. The prior year, you probably recall, was 50% for the last 6 months. We don't need to have that high of a level. We can support 10 or 15% for calendar 2012. Based on the additional amounts that we're going to be getting, 10% would net us roughly
1.1 million, I think.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And we have 2.2. And that's kind of it. So we do have some more leeway on the withholding, which will also bring more of the dollars, if the board agrees to the award winners concurrently rather than having to wait for the reserve.
Questions or comments on November and December numbers, as well as, I mean, we have to approve monthly numbers, but we also have year-end numbers as well. Anyone?
The owner's award is up pretty significantly, but the number of earnings, the number of horses earning that or owners earning that isn't really. Is it just a reflection of the purses being that much higher?
Yes.
And the horses running
better races? And the horses doing better, yes. Mm-hmm.
Without an increase in percentage, as everyone knows, we didn't increase that category. We saw it almost a twofold increase there, is that right?
Just on restricted races, which I know doesn't apply to the open, but our average purse at NYRA was up, was at $44,300 for just January. Last year, the average for the whole year was $42,000, about the same. So primarily the additional purse amounts and the horses just placing well. I haven't looked at the detail yet to see if we have one or two big winners, but there's probably a couple of them in there that earned some significant.
Yeah, there are a couple of good open horses that are running in the upper levels. But that's still a very big, that's a lot. because we didn't increase that percentage at all.
No, and even for last year, the owner awards was the only category that had an increase over the actual prior awards from 2010.
That should be good news to NIRA.
Yeah.
It means that more New York Reds are running open races.
Yep.
And it's good news to the owners that they're profitable doing it.
Yep.
That's very significant.
News positive everywhere in terms of, as my friend Mr. Tesra knows, I go to watch the Super Bowl in Las Vegas every year, and I happen to talk to two race book managers just about business in general, our signal, and the interest in our signal. And remember, people have to get up at not get to the book at 9 in the morning to bet Aqueduct. Is up this year because people are seeing the quality of purses and that some of the trainers that are still hanging around in the winter months who normally would be at Gulfstream but still have a few horses here. So even out there, there's an increased interest in our product.
Well, Darley certainly unleashed a monster the other day in that horse called by Street Cry. His name is Street Light. Mm. Anyone who saw that race, you might be seeing a lot more of that horse. Hmm. And that was a New York maiden special winner. Hmm. It was a very impressive race.
Well, the other interesting thing too, John, is the number of trainers that did bring horses to Florida that also left a bunch of horses
yep.
in New York, some of whom hadn't left horses in New York
right.
in forever.
Right. Right. Right, so any other questions or comments on the November-December financials? Hearing none, can we have a move to accept those?
So moved.
Moved by Senator Nolan. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Graziano. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The financials are approved for those months. The our friends at the Thoroughbred Breeders. Jeff, where are you today?
I am down in the state of Florida.
Oh.
It's slightly warmer here than New York. Slightly.
Well, can you give us a report on promotional activities? Actually, before you do, let me commend the breeders for their contribution to TRF recently. As many of you know, the Task Force of Retired Racehorses, which Commissioner Albertine and I and Liz O'Connell is here, we're a part of, highlighted the myriad of issues regarding racehorse retirement, and our state breeders have stepped up to the plate and contributed some money, and that's a good thing, so thank you for that. You want to talk a little about our promotional efforts?
Yes, everyone should have a printout, Tracy. I'm assuming you distributed that to everyone.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Three pages, and this is an overview of the last month of January 2012 and the activities that NYPD has been involved with promotionally for the program here in New York. We published our stallion register, which was distributed actually nationally now. That's distributed all over the country to various other breed associations. Sales facilities, racetracks, and as many farms as we can get it to. That was published this past month and sent out. Our divisional award ceremony is going to be held on April 2nd, so we've been actively engaged at planning that effort. Currently, the New York Turf Riders are involved with the voting process for those division of horses. It'll be awarded on April 2nd. It's going to be held at Saratoga National Golf Club, where it was last year as well. The New York Reader magazine was published in January, and I can actually provide a little update to that. In previous years, the last handful of years, actually, we've only published this in print half of the year, so 6 months during the breeding season. And a few other months throughout the year. I'm glad to report that magazine is actually going to be printed every single month this year in 2012, so it would be 12 printed editions as well as electronic versions. So it's an upgrade from where we were. We're working on a few other different pieces of it, and including an editorial and upgrading some of the print quality of that. So we're looking forward to the magazine. We've done our weekly e-newsletters that have continued to grow every month. There's over 4,200 people that are now on our distribution for receiving our newsletter as a weekly line item of everything New York, New York bred. Page two, significantly bumped up advertising, as everyone knows, with our contract this year. I've spread out our ad plan to include both print and electronic and online for the calendar year, and we spread it across all of the major industry outlets. So that Dover Daily News, we actually purchased the front page. I'm sure some people have seen. We have a bi-weekly spot, maybe highlighted in the TDN every other week, literally on the front page of the magazine. We're at bloodhorse.com every month with banner ads. We're doing once a month in the printed version of Sober Time, once a month in the printed version of the Blood Horse. We have presence on the Polis Report, which has grown significantly in the industry. That's over 54,000 visitors in every month, which is actually making them the largest industry website right now in the market. So we have a monthly presence there. And then the last piece is on bloodhorse.com itself. We're running bi-weekly as well. So we spread the advertising out for the year, and this is going to continue forward for the remainder of the year. Page three, we continued with our online presence with nycbreeders.org with various articles and original content relevant to New York bred racing and breeding, video replays, and photography of New York bred winners, both at Finger Lakes and at the Denver Racetrack. And the last item is our governmental affairs and public relations. There's four bills that we've discussed to fund board meetings the past, actually going back over a year now. And there's four items that we're looking to move forward or continue pressing with the legislature. One of which is the fund's ability to carry over a balance from year to year. Currently, the fund can only carry a $75,000 balance. And as everyone knows, the last few years prior to Resorts World coming online, we ran into some issues with New York City OTB's closure because of not being able to carry that balance forward. The good news is we've been told via the second floor and in the governor's office that language to allow the fund to carry over a larger balance is going to be moving forward in a program bill. That's very good news. We're going to look to support. The second item is the Breeders Awards cap. Now, if everyone remembers, NYCB lobbied to get the Breeders Awards cap raised to 65%, along with the admin and promo budget. And those were both one-year sunset bills that we've had renewed the last 2 years. But we're looking to make that a permanent change with the legislature so that they're set in stone without a year-to-year sunset. So we're going to push for that bill itself. I've already gotten a little bit of pushback from the assembly because they like to do things year-to-year, as everyone in racing knows. But we're going to continue to move forward with that bill. Third line item is the stallion lease law. Actually, I think we're going to be talking about more here, but we're looking to change that lease law from 2 years to 1 year. Senator McDonald has actually shown interest in sponsoring a bill to do that for us in the Senate. We've been working with Assemblyman Pretlow to introduce that on the Assembly side, but we've received some good feedback about making that happen as well. And then the last item is the personal enrichment law. And as everyone knows, over a year, we've been talking about the fact that the fund pays 60%, 40% by statute to a person enrichment to Finger Lakes, to NYRA. And at one point, we're talking about removing the 60-40 split and allowing the fund board to designate percentages based on what revenue was at hand to Finger Lakes and NYRA. And, you know, the primary reason we're looking at this was that Finger Lakes needed the purse money more the past 3 years than NYRA did, of course. And presently, currently, that's going to be the same case. So that's why we're talking about that. I know that Dave Brown is there from Finger Lakes, and we've had discussions about this. And, you know, Finger Lakes' position, which I'm sure we can talk about, is that they'd like to maintain a 60% split as a minimum of that first enrichment money, which I don't think anyone can argue against. So we might not, I don't think we're going to be pursuing that 60-40 language in this bill. However, we're going to pursue language that would allow the fund, or I'm sorry, for the racetrack to utilize that purse money differently than they are now. Currently, the law states that the races have to be exclusive or restricted to New York reds, and we have a verbal agreement with NYRA that they'd like to actually utilize this money in a greater fashion to give an additional owner's bonus to New York bred horses that placed in open company, which, as we've just talked about, is happening more and more, and would hopefully help increase the marketplace for New York bred. So the fund, Tracy, myself, Horseman, had a meeting back in January in which we talked about this. So we're looking to change the laws that would basically drop the word exclusive, so that the track can actually utilize the money that's due such a program. And that is my report in a nutshell. And if you have any questions, I'll certainly entertain them.
Okay. We also have Chris Del Judas here, who is the lobbyist for the breeders. And Chris, you have anything to add? I know. We, Jeff, we at the Racing and Wagering Board were asked our opinion on the bill that you think the governor's going to support, and we certainly gave a strong positive opinion as well. I think that helped move it along. Chris, you
right. I mean, Jeff pretty much summed up our legislative agenda for the year that we were seeking to pursue with those four bills. Just going back to give you a brief update on the governor's budget, because I'm sure you guys are all aware of the proposed. The governor proposed in his budget to merge the Division of Lottery and Racing Wagering Board, obviously the New York Gaming Commission. That also includes, obviously, the this fund, the Quarter Horse Breeding Fund, and the Harness Fund. And the 21-day amendments, the governor proposed just putting in statute the current starting fee. So that was put forward in the 21-day amendments. So it would just be put into statute so that it was adopted. The actual language of the proposed merger was very vague, wasn't a whole lot of details. A lot of it's going to be subject to negotiations with the legislature. I'm sure the legislature is going to want to add some picks to the commission, because right now it's all governor's picks. So that is all subject to negotiation. The other items the governor put in his budget was he's going to propose to take back the uncashed vouchers. And they estimate that would bring in about $200,000 in revenue that would be used for the, I believe, the Racing Wagering Board's racing account, right? The other item that the governor proposed was reducing Racing Wagering Board's employee costs by authorizing the Harness Racing Associations and corporations to appoint their own judges and starters at races. This would be estimated to save about $829,000. And then he also does a one-year extension of lowering the carbon neutral tax rates and rules governing some casino and out-of-state leases. That's a typical extender that goes in every year. And then not included in the government budget, of course, was the constitutional gaming amendment that is something that he put on draft on that is standalone standalone bills, basically just eight words that authorizes casino gaming. However, there's no definition provided of what casino gaming is, so that may be subject to different language down the road. And that is pretty much what he has included in his budget. The governor has the 30-day amendments that are supposed to come out today, so we'll keep monitoring that and let you guys know if anything else comes out.
Thanks, Chris. Questions or discussions on promotional and legislative items? Everyone's very quiet today. Dr. Wilmot?
I found my voice. On the fourth legislative item, the first enrichment, I think it's a stroke of genius to essentially turn that money into owners' awards. That's really what we're saying. And there have been meetings going on now for some time, which a number of people around this table have attended, with representatives from NYRA and the horsemen, trying to find some common ground on the owner's award thing and on the fact that the breeder's fund does not get any simulcast cast revenue. And basically that's a lot of good fellowship, but it's gone nowhere in terms of us getting any dough. So I think this is a great way to fund and encourage New York breads to run an open company, to which helps everybody. And I would like to see every dollar of it go to owners' awards for open races. I think that would be a challenge to NYRA and the horsemen about sharing simulcast revenue. That would be putting our money where our mouth is. We'll see if they really step up.
It also shows that we're validating the fact that we have a hot product, that we're not afraid of any other.
Absolutely.
Any other outside forces.
It's a vote of confidence.
Right. Right.
And they all whine about give money to the owners, well.
Right. Mr. McMahon.
Jeff, is there part of that negotiation that's going on? Does it affect the simulcast money that we don't get? Is there a move to have NYRA match whatever money the fund would put in there?
That's my goal. And I think that should be the fund's goal as well, is that to get NYRA and the NYSO organization to contribute some and on their own to this bonus. For example, this year I think, I don't have the number in front of me, but the fund's giving them between $500,000 and $600,000 out of this purse money. You know, it'd be great to see NYRA and the horsemen match whatever dollar amount the fund gives as a way of contributing the simulcast money that we're talking about. Now, do I have any agreement, or has that, you know, formally happened? No, definitely not. Do we have a formal agreement that they would designate all of the money that the fund gives them for this bonus? Yes. So the problem is, again, the statute technically limits that from happening from an accounting purpose. So step one is to get that statute changed, of course. And I think step two is to get them to agree to some type of matching plan.
Thank you.
Other questions or comments on promotional and legislative agenda items? Hearing none, thank you, Jeff, and thank you, Chris. We're now going to, I'm going to ask Tracy to discuss an issue regarding McMahon Thoroughbreds, who's requested some relief from a two-year stallion lease, the offspring of Harlem Rocker and Tiago, and their ability to still get stallion awards. There's a legal precedent, I believe, that Kyle can sign.
For the breeder awards, right. There's a legal precedent. The new issue would be the stallion awards.
All right, so we'll discuss.
Harlem Rocker has become a wobbler, which means he's had some kind of swelling around his spinal cord, and it makes him unable to perform certain tasks, including standing on his hind legs, which you need in the breeding shed. So the McMahons like, they kind of kept me informed along the way that the horse was having problems. They sent him to Cornell, and then his owners, Adina Springs, wanted him to come back to Kentucky to be treated. In the meantime, Tiago had a bad colic. He was looked at Cornell. They felt they needed, you know, some more expertise. Adina Springs is familiar with the vets in Kentucky, so they wanted him to be looked at down there. And he's in rough shape, this guy. So they both had come here last year and stood their first year. So their first offspring are born this year, 2012. They're, you know, we have the two-year stallion lease, which is really, in you know, that's for another discussion about, you know, the legislation that may get that changed. But in these particular cases, the horses left the state for medical reasons. Kyle's on the phone. He knows there's a precedent going way back in the fund's history where a stallion owner took his stallion out of state, and the fund board decided, well, the stallion won't get stallion awards, but the offspring, we won't punish the mayor owners because they had faith that this person was taking part in our program and was abiding by the two-year lease. So that is one issue that you can all decide. The second issue would be a new issue for the board, and that is, should these stallions be allowed to receive stallion awards since they didn't leave on a capricious thought of their owners, but rather because they had medical needs? And Tiago, in fact, I understand, may not recover from his bout with colic.
Tracy, this is Kyle, and the one question I neglected to ask you is, both of these stallions did come into New York with a two-year lease, correct?
Yes, yes, you have to.
Yeah, and we have copies of those leases,
yes.
Correct?
Yes, do you remember the name of the stallion?
Yes. Well, I'll probably butcher it, but it's like Muguntum.
Right.
I couldn't say the name either.
I actually
said email
this morning, and some of you may not have received it, but just to fill you in, back in 1999 or 2000, this board was presented with a similar but different issue a stallion had come into New York for a two-year lease, and after the first year, the owner had decided to take the horse back out of state. There was no medical issue or anything of that nature. It was just a decision by the owner to take the horse out of New York. And the breeders had prevailed upon the fund that they had, you know, bred their mares to the stallion in good faith, and that they should not be penalized by virtue of the owner's actions here, the owner of the stallion. And the board considered the issue at a December meeting, and the board determined that under the circumstances, since the breeder had bred in good faith, that the foals of Muguntum was the name of the horse, would be treated as New York sired horses, New York breds, and but that the stallion awards would not be available since the owner had, you know, removed the horse for really no apparent reason, and that was the decision of the board back, you know, over 10 years ago. This case is different because in this case, you know, there are medical reasons for the stallion leaving, and there would be a basis, in my view, to not penalize the stallions for leaving the state, and I think it would be within the board's discretion to rule on that.
I just want to note for the record that Joe McMahon, because he stood those stallions, has recused himself from voting on the issue, but if you all have questions that you want answered and only he can provide the answers, please.
Tracy, I wish to abstain also. I have three mares in foal to Harlem Rocker and two mares in foal to Tiago. So I have potentially a financial interest in this, and I would like to abstain.
Sure.
And
This is Jeff. I want to make just a couple quick comments, and I think it kind of piggybacks off of what Kyle was just informing us what happened in the past. I certainly hope we don't want to penalize any breeders who obviously bred these stallions with the intention of earning awards. I think that would be a bad precedent for the program, because of all the reasons that Kyle mentioned before. And, you know, from the stallion owner's perspective, you know, the medical issue that arose with both stallions obviously was not planned. So the nature of them leaving the state wasn't to go breed in another state or to be sold to another state to do that. They're taking out of being able to breed themselves. So I think that's another major point in whatever dialogue we have, is that they didn't leave the state to go breed somewhere else. They were taken out of actual being able to cover mares themselves. So I just wanted to bring those points up.
Kyle, this is Bill Wilmot. In the previous stallion incident that you cited from 1999 or 2000, it was determined by the board, you said that the breeders would not be punished, they wouldn't have awards withheld. And what was the result with the stallion owner and the stallion awards for that, moving that horse after the 1 year?
The stallion awards were disallowed for the in that particular case.
And in that case, the stallion was moved on the whim of the owner.
Thank you.
Jeff, did you
agree? Yeah, it said here in the letter, due to the revocation of the required 2-year lease, however, stallion awards will not be awarded.
Jeff? Now, Tracy, did you say that these horses were brought to Cornell and for health issues to be examined, but that they were not able to address them? That's the rationale for why they were brought out of state. Can I just clarify that?
Yes. Can
I address the board on this? I'll totally recluse myself from any voting on this thing, because it certainly does affect me. But Harlem Rocker was brought to Cornell after he showed signs of being a wobbler. That's inability to control his hind end, basically. He was there for over a month. They did numerous tests on him, and they determined that he had 3 lesions in his spine. So they had scheduled surgery to be done at Cornell. This was after he was there for a month, actually. And Dr. Nixon, who was going to do the surgery, was out of rotation. And although they scheduled it for right around Christmas time, actually, Dr. Nixon wasn't available to do the surgery. So they sent the horse to Kentucky, because Dr. Nixon wasn't available to do the procedure that he wanted to do with him. So that's why the horse went there in the first place, went to Kentucky. There's almost no likelihood that this horse will ever return to the stud anywhere, but Edina Springs has said that if he returns to stud, he'll return to New York State. So that was, the only reason that he went there was because they have relationships there. They have a large farm. The horse was not going to be able to cover mares this season, and they said, if it's all right with you, we would like to have the veterinarians in Kentucky take over in Dr. Nixon's absence. With Dr. Nixon was in full agreement too. There was never any kind of question that, we want to do this way or that way. Nixon was involved in all the procedures. And it was over a 6-week period while the horse was at Cornell. The other horse, Tiago, spent more time than that at Cornell. He actually showed signs of colic back in October. We treated him like 3-4 days in a row. He went to Cornell almost immediately, within 2 or 3 days, where it was determined that he had a very serious bowel problem. Edina Springs elected to leave him there to do diagnostic work. They left him there until Christmas time. So he was there almost 2 months at a great cost to Edina Springs. They determined through all that time, what they did, why they wanted him there that long, was they wanted to ultrasound his gut every day. to see if there was any changes by putting on different medications. And to no avail, that was to absolutely no avail. They didn't find a medication that reduced the inflammation in his gut, and his gut was swelling to the point where it should be this big. Everyone, I'm saying the size of a dime or a nickel in diameter to the size of this, a pencil. So very little feed was going through this horse's intestine. He was constantly impacting. And they said, we can do a exploratory surgery on him to verify what we think, or we can just let him be. They decided that they would do the surgery, but again, Dr. Nixon was going to do all this, was out of town. So they brought the horse to Kentucky. They did the surgery. They affirmed what the diagnosis was at Cornell, and they say this horse has very little chance of ever surviving. Why he's even survived is kind of a surprise. But again, if he recovers, if he makes a miraculous recovery, Edina Springs has said, we'll return the horse to New York. So there's no effort at all to stay in the horse anything else, or to,
Let me just be clear from a legal standpoint. I think it's, I think that this board is completely within its discretion to allow both Breeders' Awards and Stallion Awards, given the facts and circumstances of this particular case. So I just want to be clear about that.
Dr. Wilmot.
After hearing the circumstances surrounding these two horses, first that Tracy was kept informed, second that the first line of defense was Cornell, and that it's a valid medical reason, common sense would seem to say that both the breeders, certainly the breeders, and in my opinion the stallion, everybody should still get their awards. There was no intent here. Certainly, Mr. Stronach's outfit tried at Cornell, and Dr. Nixon is a world-renowned surgeon. He is their ace. So if he was off rotation, I can understand how Mr. Stronach would say, well, you know what? I've got my ace here. Makes sense to me.
Any other discussion?
One other question was, was a letter, is there anything in writing in regards to that, or was there verbal conversations that was had? I think it makes a difference.
We produced a letter and sent it to Tracy on it. We have a huge file on the whole episode that Cornell has produced.
Yeah. Okay. They really kept me informed all along. I even saw Harlem Rocker one day, and he was progressively getting worse.
And they stood here for
1 year.
1 year. Is it possible that he was in that condition when he came?
Tiago had episodes of colic throughout his life, but they never were able to diagnose what it was caused. But his gut was ultrasounded in Kentucky when he came up here, before he came here. And they've seen a tenfold increase in the muscle tissue in his gut from when he first arrived here until last June, when we started having trouble with him, and again this December. So over a 10 times increase in the muscle wall, and that's what's causing the obstruction. It's through the whole intestine. It's not in a spot here. They wanted to take out a piece or a foot or two or whatever, and they said, we're going to end up taking the whole thing here.
A comment on the Harlem Rocker, the first horse who came a wobble. This was his first year at stud, right, Joe?
That's right. And he didn't ever display anything at all.
For the record, I am a veterinarian, and it is not uncommon for horses after they stop racing, broodmares and stallions, who have a different life now and a different use of muscles and that, to develop wobbler syndrome. Usually you say, well, gee, they'd show that as a yearling or two-year-old. Not always true. There was a famous Phipps mare, I can't call her name right now, it might have been Personal Ensign, when she got to Claiborne and was retired, turned into a wobbler. She had made, she's in the Hall of Fame. I think it was her, but it was a famous one. So what happened is that she had ended up having to be kept in a very small paddock, restricted, this and that. And she lived on for a long time, but you just think, well, how could that happen? It happens.
Mm-hmm. If there are no other questions, there'd really be two motions in order, and if Dr. Wilmot, or you want to make one or both?
I would make the
one would, motion. One would be to allow relief from the two-year stallion lease by permitting the offspring of Harlem Rocker and Tiago to still be able to receive breeders' awards for their foals born in 2012. That would be one.
So moved.
For a second? Second by Mr. Kelly. We've had indications that Mr. McMahon and Senator Nolan will abstain. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, then the other motion would be for relief from the two-year stallion lease by permitting the offspring of Harlem Rocker and Tiago to be able to generate their stallion awards for 2012. And if you want to offer that, offer
so
by
moved.
Dr. Wilmot, their second, Mr. Kelly, so moved. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Abstentions by Mr. McMahon and Senator Nolan. Those two items are approved. Next item on your agenda, item six, is the happy, happy time of distributing one.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Mr. Kelly.
Not to belabor this, according to what Jeff has said, that we are going, they are going to come up with new legislation, possibly new legislation, from 2 years to a year. Right? What happens, let me say this first. I think there should be strong verbiage in there as what can happen to a stallion owner and also what can happen to a breeder. I think there's a possibility that if we don't have strong language and they cover all bases and really skin that cat good, I think we could suffer for it down the road.
Chris, you want to address that or?
Yeah, I mean, that's something we can take a look at. What kind of language were you thinking about?
I was thinking that there should be some prohibition that if a stallion owner pulls out for no reason at all, or for a better deal someplace else, or a higher deal, leaving the state, there should be something like prohibition of or suspension of when he can come back in, or some fine, or something that he would have to pay for the cost of those horses that they bred, and some relief there. Make some strong language in there.
And you know the legislation.
I think it's not strong enough.
Well, the legislation now, what they're proposing to do is say that there would only be a one-year lease.
Mm-hmm.
So then in that case, there would be no punishment for a stallion leaving the state after just 1 year.
Yeah, but if he, during that, what happens if he leaves during that year?
The current penalties are still in statute, so whatever the current penalties are would apply.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The current statute says that a horse has to stand his whole season in the state of New York, but he can be excused for sitting here, Southern Hemisphere. Purposes in the same calendar year, but not the same breeding year.
Not
the same breeding season, I should say.
Right, and I don't think it's even practical for that situation to ever happen. So, I mean, if the stallion is standing in the state of New York for the breeding season, he's here for the year. So, we're not going to run into the circumstance, my point, going forward if the law was to change in 1 year. And the second part of this is that the fund. And, you know, Kyle, correct me if I'm wrong, but this two-year lease law, I mean, this has been the case for years upon years upon years, and what we're talking about right now in terms of wanting to change the laws to make greater stipulation, we haven't had, you know, we only have what we have right now, and we've had that for years upon years, so I'm not sure if the place of the legislation to stipulate what the penalties would be for any of these circumstances. I think that it might need to be a policy documented by the fund itself to do that. I'm not sure we want to have legislation to that detail, which could cause further problems potentially going forward, too.
Well, isn't it covered just by the fact that
the statute, then you know, then the board would be sort of unburdened from that, and then can establish whatever rules they think are consistent with your mandate. Yeah, I agree with that. But you know, again, this is a this is an if, because getting legislation done is not necessarily guaranteed, so.
Any further discussion on this topic?
Thank you.
And thank you, because I got more of a education on the gastrointestinal system of a horse than I ever got on the main streets of Jackson Heights today. Back to item six, which is the distribution. Actually, it's, as of this morning, $1.338 million. Folks, it's happy time. We're here. My ears are open for discussion. And Dr. Wilmot.
What a nice problem to have here. I have two comments. One is, I don't think any of it should go into owner's awards per se. I think, particularly after sitting across from Mr. Violet and Mr. Hayward at the meeting in NYTB offices not long ago, if we can manage to get the purse enrichment, some of that squeezed into owner's awards, I think the challenge is for them to come up with owner's awards, not us. They're getting simulcast revenue, that's going to purses. There's already owner's awards that we're not getting money for, so it's going there. So I don't think a dime of the $1.3 million should go to owner's awards. My two cents is, I would, you know, split it between the breeders and the stallions, but I'd leave the owners out. That's just my two cents.
Breeders awards are now at, I believe, 60%. Is that correct, Tracy?
Well,
which is under the cap.
If we used all of this money for breeders awards, we would reach about 60%.
58% exactly would be where we would reach. Stallion awards were currently at 12.2%.
The cap's 15.
And the cap is 20%.
20.
Yes.
Well, I think if you just gave it to breeders,
as we did last year,
that would be sending a message, maybe not the right message to the stallion. I think the bulk of the money is going to go to breeders, just because that's the way it is in terms of dollar amount. But I think there should be some kind of a taste for the stallions. I think that would be reasonable. I think we want to send a message about the owners of that stuff. I think that could be left out.
You want to propose a set of numbers? Go ahead.
I don't really have my arms around the numbers and how it would all shake out, but if you, what did you say the stallion awards was we're at now?
12%. Going back to our budget actual, other can just give some detail that may help frame this. Total breeder awards again were $5,013,983. That's about $807,000 less than we had originally expected for the year. Stallion awards, actual for calendar 2011, $1,334,934. That's a drop over the expected amount of $366,566, and then the remaining difference in the owner awards I'll leave out, but they were about $168,000 less than expected for the year. So essentially, the drop, our excess expense, our excess revenues, is primarily from the drop in the award amounts over expected.
So I believe you just said that the breeders was about $800,000 less than what we had expected,
yes,
to pay, and
yes,
the stallions was $300,000 less. So let's just say we paid that. That'd be $1,000,001, right?
Right.
And that only leaves you a couple hundred thousand.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of the ratio I was looking at. I don't have hard numbers in mind, but what I would just keep paying it along those same lines until you ran out of money. So maybe that ends up $880 for one, or $900, and whatever the difference is for stallions. Anybody else? I mean, I don't have any great, I don't have an agenda here other than leaving the numbers out. I just, certainly we should.
Go ahead. What do you think?
Well, I'm going to recluse myself from a vote on this thing because I'm both a breeder and a stallion owner. But, I mean, if you just look at the way our industry has been the last 4 years and the losses people have taken, the stallion people, the breeders have taken gigantic losses. So I think it's fair that we use this supplemental award, you know, across the board. I think everybody suffered very, very equally.
What do you think about the owner thing, though, Joe?
Well, the owner thing, in my estimation, is that's a different kettle of fish. I don't know I don't feel strongly. I'm just seeing just now that the awards, although they're the same number of awards, the awards have doubled in the month of January alone. Now that's a remarkable number. I don't know if we all have got our hands around that yet,
right.
But that is a remarkable number. So I don't know, the owners appear to me to be in pretty good condition. Now, how much money would there be left? I don't know, there'd be a couple $100,000. It's not a significant amount of money.
Well, I mean, it probably won't be left, right? Because you're going to want us to give it all out.
Well, we have to by statute. Yeah. We have to give it all out. I don't have a strong opinion on the owner's award.
You're not going to vote. I understand that. But if you were going to vote, would you support doctors?
Well, I would support across the board.
I
think that, you know, everybody has shared the pain on the front end. Everybody's taken reductions. I think it's only fair that you share the upside on it. And that's my wisdom on it, if there is any.
I ask you because I think you understand that.
Oh, I do.
Okay, that's why I ask you.
I appreciate you asking.
Jeff's been trying to ask a question. Yeah. Go ahead, Jeff.
I was just going to make the point that, Dr. Wilmot was kind of briefed us a little bit on it, but when we met in January, the NIRA horsemen, you know, they had an issue with the fact that the fund didn't increase owner's awards with the breeders and stallion increases that we did last year. I think it's, you know, fair to put that on record that they had an issue with that. I am of the school that I think that, you know, I'm not leaning one way or the other way, as Joe just mentioned. I think that everybody's felt the same burden in our industry here in New York, and at the same time, you know, as the awards are showing, everyone's going to be prospering the same way going forward. I want to make the other point that it might be in our best interest to, in terms of this negotiating that's going to happen with whatever owner bonus comes back out of this law that we're trying to change from the NIRA and horsemen, and we're going to need their support in doing this. It might be a little bit of a good faith to provide something. Maybe it's that leftover $200,000 you're talking about to the orders category going forward. That's kind of the point I wanted to make.
Some wisdom to that thinking. You know, we are involved in a negotiation here. We're trying to make things better for everybody. It's a little bit of a bitter pill because, I mean, when you look at, you know, just speaking just very frankly, you look at NYRA's position on raising parity for New York bred races. They've been steadfastly opposed to it. But we're sitting here talking about giving more money to the owner's award, which is pretty, I mean, it's well funded as it is. But anyway, I still see the benefit of doing some money for the owners in this thing.
I just want to note that the figure we have is 167,000, not 200 grand.
That would be what was left over.
Yeah, that's right here.
Well, maybe we should be magnanimous. Maybe we should put that in owner's awards, and at least it's a gesture. I will stand down from the zero and use the smaller number, as Joe said, to be diplomatic. So that would be what I would suggest.
Make the motion.
The bulk going to breeders and stallions with a little a bone of 167 for the owners.
Will that be divided between?
What do you think, Howard? You're the great negotiator. Senator Nolan, what do you think?
He's asking a question.
Very mixed emotions. I agree partially with Dr. Wilmot's thinking and partially with Joe's thinking. And I guess when I'm going to be required to vote, that I will support Joe's position on this, but I can see also the wisdom of Dr. Wilmot's position. Mm-hmm. But I am going to support it across the board.
Tracy, what's the percent increase for, what would the percent increase be, I guess, for the work going out with the money that we'd be doing for each category?
In each category?
Yeah. Do we know what percent bump it would be?
I'm going to hand my calculator to Mr. DeMarco.
It's a tough one, Mike.
Okay.
While he's doing that, I'm sure you, I hope you have a nice window looking out in the Florida sunshine.
I mean, one way of doing this would be to do something like, I don't know, 50% to readers, you know, 35% to galleons, and 15% to owners, or something like that. But, you know, of the supplemental amount. But.
But then you're taking, if you do that, you're taking from breeders to give to owners and stallion owners.
No way.
I think you do that.
Well, I mean, you have a finite amount of money to deal with, so.
We do, but we also, yeah, but we do have, you know, obviously, it's like what we had expected to spend and what's left over. What's left over for the breeders, you know, $806,000. Left over for the Stallion Awards, $366,000. Left over from Owner Awards, $167,000.
So Mike now is just calculating what those dollar yes. amounts would be in a percentage.
Percentage. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now that percentage is over the already paid or already
right.
earned Owner's Awards,
yes.
Breeder's Awards,
right.
and Stallion
yes.
Awards. So we can say we're giving 167 to Owners Awards, and that is a 3% bump, 8%, whatever. The
exactly.
Okay.
The I'll start with the relative percentages for the three categories. The $807,000 for breeders, that represents 60% of the $1.3 million that we have as an excess revenue. The stallion.
What is that percent over Breeders Awards already awarded? Not of the
16%.
16%.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
16% increase.
16% increase for the stallions. That would be a 27% increase. Using I just rounded to $367,000, and that actually represents 27% of our excess revenue. And for the owner awards, if they received $167,000 or $168,000, it would represent a 17% increase.
Bingo.
Over what was earned this year. Yeah.
16, 27, and 17.
Well, what for?
That's just maintaining the ratio from the budget actual.
Represents a 16%. The 27%, what kind of percent increase is that over the base amount?
27%.
27%.
16 for breeders, 27 for stallions, 17% for owners. That's the bump in what they earned so far.
Okay.
So that
those
would
numbers
be,
all work.
I mean, are we really talking about what our target numbers were when we started here? Last year, and we said this is
yes.
basically the
yes.
shortfall that we felt.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. seems pretty
more or less.
Yeah, if that's the case, I mean, I think that that's a pretty equitable way of dealing with it.
I think it's really equitable.
Do I propose a motion?
I propose that we distribute the 1.3 something
338
supplemental money, extra dough. In a way that 16% of, or that 800 and some thousand, which is 16%, would go to the Breeders' Awards. 27% or whatever that number is, 300. 363 would go to Stallion Awards, and the remaining $167,000, which is 17% bump, would go to the owner's.
That doesn't add up to 100%.
No, no, it doesn't. No, I'm just saying the percentages I just mentioned were raises for what was earned.
Right. I think to have this pass muster to people who are going to look at this, we should provide percentages of the amount, of the supplemental amount. Because it won't make sense to anyone reading the minutes.
Right.
That's,
yes.
I think that's, we'll get to trouble.
So 16% of the supplemental, 27% of supplemental, 17%, okay.
It's six, for the breeder, 60% of the supplemental, 27% is for the stallions of the supplemental. For owner awards, 13%.
How much is the last one?
13, correct. So that, whatever changes there are to that number upon final audit, we'll just maintain the percentages all the way through, so the same ratio will go apply.
One final question here, Mike. We have three numbers. We have dollar amounts, we have the percentages you just quoted, which are percentages of this 1.3. Right. That was 60, 27, and 13.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I just want to clarify the other confusing percentages, which were based on the award categories. So for Breeders Awards, that amount of money, that $800,000,
yes,
that is 16% of what was already earned?
That's 16% of the $5 million already earned, correct.
And in the Stallion category, it's 27%?
Correct.
So it's that actually is the same number.
Right.
And that's why it's confusing.
That's why it's confusing.
Yeah, yeah. It happens to be the same.
And then the owner award for what's already been earned, 17%?
Correct.
No, 13 is the percent of the supplemental.
Right.
17 is the percent.
Parenthetical to your motion, this keeps us all under the cap numbers as well.
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So is there a second to Dr. Wilmot's motion?
I second that.
Second by Jeff Canizzo. Any discussion? All those in favor of Dr. Wilmot's motion for a split of 60% breeders, 27% stallion, 13% owners? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
I abstain.
Mr. McMahon, Senator Nolan, you say you're going to abstain?
I'm going to vote for it.
You're going to vote for it, okay. Motion is approved. I have to leave in about 40 minutes or so for a cabinet meeting, so I hope we can
cover way ahead of you.
Can I just point out that under the financials, we mentioned withholding and what we're going to do. We'll be doing our first awards checks fairly soon, so we do need to know. We need somebody to make a formal motion about what our withholding rate should be this year.
Oh,
and also he's prepared to answer questions on that.
Actually, just further to the amendment proposal, when will we send the dough? Because I've been getting phone calls.
Last year we sent it out in early May, and we can do that as well. We're also going to be sending out the 30% reserve as well, and that'll be sent out in early March.
Okay, so there's two bonus checks.
Yes.
The one in early March, which is almost upon us, and yes, this one we're going to hold till May.
Yeah, I mean that. If we use the same schedule as last year, during April we're going to have, early April we'll have the first period checks will be paid out for January, our normal.
So right, in April you pay the January, February period, correct?
Yes.
So there's that open month in between.
Yeah.
It just seems like a long time between now and May for money that we already have.
Yeah. They need an order. Is it a reason or is it just something that you...
Well, it's the process that it takes, the number of checks and then the going through all of that with the quality control. I think last year we did do 1 month with two. We got through it. It was a bit difficult. We could do it again. So we could move up the supplemental to April, maybe mid or latter half of April. But we're probably looking at over 1,000 checks.
I apologize if I missed this, but I don't know that we've yet addressed the issue of what the holdback should be for 2012.
That's what we're discussing right now.
We have not yet.
Okay.
Yeah. We're just talking about
what when the checks are coming out.
What we're going to pay this money.
Yeah.
I would say that the earliest we can do it, the better for everyone. So whatever logical for Mike and Tom.
Well, we could go through with the withholding in March. I don't know if I could do the supplemental by the end of March. I'm going to have to be dealing with. I think maybe you shoot for the end of April or mid-April.
All right.
We can get it done. You'll have more. What so you do with the more money you're going to have? You're going to get 1.2%.
We have a. If you look.
I
think we could all agree we have a professional, responsible accounting staff now that we can trust them to try and get the money out.
We used to send the supplementals out in September.
Right. Yeah. So early March is the reserve money that gets paid.
Yeah.
And then in mid-April, with this bonus, we'll call it a bonus money, extra money, supplemental.
With Ms. Spadaro's resignation, we lost half the staff devoted to processing these, so. I'll probably be doing most of this myself along with it. We can get some temporary.
That way, at least when people start beating on my door, Joe must have called something.
What do we usually do in terms of a holdback?
That has changed from year to year.
Right.
I guess when best I could determine when things were good, either 10 or 20%. Now this year, the 30% resulted in a holdback of roughly $2.2 million. Based on what we're projecting for 2012, if we did a 10% reserve, that would be about $1.4 million. 15% reserve would be $2 million. I think 20 would be excessive, given what we're expecting. So we can support 10% or 15%. I'm comfortable with 10%, if the board would agree with that.
Someone want to make a motion?
I make a motion that we do 10% withholding. I think that the lowest we can go is a better message for everyone. It's always better to have the money in the hands of the people that are utilizing it, the breeders, owners, and stallion owners. So I think 10% would be fantastic.
Motion by Mr. Canizzo for 10%. Dr. Roma.
Discussion or seconded.
Second. Okay, discussion.
Second and discussion. I'm for the 10%. I just want to hearken back to the discussions Tracy, Mike, Joe, and I and Jeff had last fall, projecting what the awards were going to be going forward. And I guess the one thing we were concerned about was the sunsetting of the 65% Breeders Award, which will happen in October. So that would be November, December, we could have a little dust up if Mike or Chris doesn't get the legislation changed. So I just wondered if that would have any impact. If Mike's comfortable with it, I'm comfortable with it.
I'm comfortable with it. I mean, we'll see how everything plays out for the year. It's too soon to say for certain because we're not expecting a big increase in restricted races for 2012, which might mean we have some lower, we'll see how that happens with the awards. If we have, we may have some excess, we may have some wiggle room for the last 2 months.
Okay.
But I think it's closely monitored. And I think for the next board meeting, we'll probably have a little bit of a better idea sometime in May how things are coming out.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll make a motion to do 10%.
We have it. All those in favor of Mr. Canizzo's motion?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay, so we're at a 10% holdback. I'm just going to offer one editorial comment. I don't want to cause a run on the bank or panic in the industry, but just a word of wisdom. We're seeing this in Pennsylvania now. Another famous Queens resident, Willie Sutton, when they asked him why he robbed banks, he said, "That's where the money is." In tough financial times, people see this kind of money, and it's not always going to be there, I don't think. So.
I hope they don't rob Bank of America.
Just FYI, there are people with green eye shades looking at the racing industry right now.
Mr. Chairman, further to your comment, as some of you may already know, the most successful VLT racetrack marriage is in Ontario at Woodbine. And just in the last week or so, they're looking at trying to get their hands on that money, the Ontario government, because they have a big deficit.
That was shocking.
Shocking.
Anyway, let's move on to the promotional spending proposals. Tracy Egan has had has a couple of items that she wants to discuss. And
yes, I don't know why everything I want to do just costs $5,000 or more. And so I come to you. The first proposal is for the fund to spend $6,000, up to $6,000, at Sirius XM Radio during the Down the Stretch program, which runs every Saturday from 10 to 1. It's hosted by Bill Finley, Dave Johnson, and Dave Grenning. They'll spend 7 minutes of their programs discussing New York breads, the advantages of owning New York breads, and they'll honor a New York bread of the month once a month. Additionally, they will air 2 30-second spots per show, and that's a $3,000 spend. Also, they want to do a special Down the Stretch program for New York Bread Showcase Day. That would be a $3,000 spend if it comes off. And they're saying 98% of the time they get the time slots they want for their show, but sometimes if the fall sports, they get nudged out. So they'll let you know a couple of weeks ahead of time whether they'll get the time, and if it's if we only get XM Radio and not Sirius for that slot, then the price would be cut in half. Finley estimates they have 50,000 listeners, which is about
this whole thing, 50,000.
Well, they have 22 million subscribers, but he thinks his particular show has 50,000.
From 10% less, and I got a deal, they'll take it.
Hmm?
All from 10% less.
Well, I already got. Well, I already got them down $500.
We already got them down, is what I think she's trying to say.
So, shall I go through all three? You want to go from one by one?
Cool.
Okay. I've been speaking with Bill Gallo from the National Steeplechase Association, and he came to me looking for purse money, and I suggested that he go to Charlie Hayward for purse enrichment money. But I said I'd be interested in sponsorship of a race, and originally I said a whipless race, but after consulting with Dr. Wilmot, he says if you say whipless race, it sends a message that you think all whips are bad. So I changed my proposal to from being a sponsor for a handwritten allowance race. Handwritten meaning the jockeys could carry a whip in case a horse is an emergency, a horse bears out to the right, you know, they can keep the, you know, nudge it on the shoulder and say, you know, stay in your lane. The reason for it being allowance race, the horses will have to be ridden by steeplechase jockeys, which weigh more than regular jockeys, and also we won't have a starting gate. They're going to be started with a flag like a steeplechase race starts. But I think it helps send a message that this whole fall festival of the horse that the Steeplechase Association is putting on at Saratoga Racecourse, and being part of that, it's part of, I think, just getting the fund's name out there and letting the public know that, you know, we have a mission of preserving farmland. We're reaching out to youth. This is a very family-oriented event. There's no wagering on it.
Mr. McMahon.
I have a question. When is this proposed for?
September 15th.
And this is proposed for where?
Saratoga Racecourse.
Saratoga Racecourse. So this is like a point-to-point race that you're
No, no. This is a flat race. The steeplechasers will also, they'll have some steeplechase races. They'll also have a flat race for steeplechasers. And then we have a New York bred allowance race.
That's pretty interesting. I mean, I
and the, it's actually it's a sanction.
So it's like a hunt meet.
Well, all the races would be sanctioned. So if a horse wins this allowance race, it goes on his earnings record. So I don't know if they need to come to you, Mr. Chairman.
They don't if there's not betting.
Oh, okay. So
if there's no parimutuel wagering, they don't, and they will provide their own judges and the like.
Mm-hmm.
Am I correct on that, right?
Yeah, so they'll be recording all
the races. That's what we do now at the preview day at Saratoga when there's steeplechase racing. There's no parimutuel, and they are the same stewards, and Similarly, on the standard bred side at Goshen, even though they're actually sire stakes races that the Harness Fund contributes purse money to, we don't, since there's no parimutuel, the Racing Wagering Board has no role.
What would the condition and the purse be? Would the $5,000 be that's it, or is there going to be additional purse?
Well, they're going to ask for additional purse money, and I said, you know, we send them purse enrichment money. By law, I can't provide purse money for a race.
Right.
There's nothing in the statute that says I can do that, but we do provide purse enrichment to NYRA, and they can use the money as they see fit, as long as it's for New York breds.
Well, other than the handroom part, what would the condition of the race be?
Well, I suggested that once we get general agreement on that we can do it, that they be in consultation with P.J. Campo, because he knows what the horse population is. In September, a lot of horses stay up here, so there'll still be a fairly large horse population. Also, I wanted an allowance race because I don't think you should have maidens going out the first time with, you know, somebody waving a flag to start them off. You need some seasoning in the horses.
Starter allowance race, get that horse that won all those races in a row. Thank you.
By the way, it raises money for charities such as the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation and Saratoga Bridges.
That's one day?
Yes, September 15th. This is kind of a dress rehearsal for next year,
mm-hmm.
Where they think they'll have an even bigger event. That will celebrate their 150th anniversary. And the final proposal, that the fund spends $9,000, excuse me, on the Mike Francesa show on the Yes Network during the Saratoga Race Meet. Commercials and what I call L-board commercials during drive time on a show which is aired on both the radio and cable via the Yes Network. So this is what I call the L-board. And they put this up for 2 minutes. So while people are watching Mike Francesa, and I know when I watch the show, I pay attention to, I see Verizon ads. This happens to be one for Disney World and Delta.
Is this going to give them an opportunity to slam us?
Say it again?
Is this going to give him an opportunity to slam us like he does everything else?
I experienced that myself.
I know you can. I did firsthand, so that's why I'm...
Me too.
Well, you know, I don't know what kind of a loser he is when he goes to the windows and, you know, empties his pockets.
Mr. Francesa expressed frustration that he invested heavily in New York breds around the year 2002. And unfortunately, there isn't 10-year-old racing, so you can't benefit from the purse enrichment.
I thought he was still involved.
Definitely still involved, but... when I caught his wrath on his show one day after the show, he said, you know, game cost him a lot of money because it came in heavy.
Were you on the show?
I've been on several times, yes.
Well, I have to go on again.
The last time he was in a better mood about it because the slots were being under construction.
He definitely is in a better mood about it now.
Yes.
He's got some mares around here.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's definitely...
And he's I will say this for Mike. He's certainly a big enough fan. He not only brings his show to Belmont the day before the Belmont Stakes, but he is a frequent attendee up here during the Saratoga meeting. And to his credit, often talks to people, his listening audience, not only what a great experience is, but says, I know not everyone can afford to stay, you know, in Saratoga, and says, you know, it takes off towns with smaller motels, and mm-hmm. says, if you want to go up there, stay in Malta, stay in Clifton Park, it'll cost you $100 a night less, but you can still have fun at Saratoga. So he does promote our industry, but you're right, he can be in a testing mood.
He did a great promotion for the sales last year. First. I mean, he just called up and said, hey, I want to put this on the air. And he did a half-hour piece. He talked to, you know, several people, and
yep.
it was well-received. A lot of people heard it. All over the country they heard it.
Oh, yeah.
He's also very controversial.
But I mean,
you know what? If you're not controversial on the radio, nobody is listening.
Nobody's going to listen to you.
He does talk about racing far greater than his listenership would like. And so, you know, if we want to... While he does not, I guess you're right, he does talk about the sport, which is important. You know, and he is the number one listened to show. show in the New York metropolitan area and heard nationally on, you know, on the YES Network if you get DirecTV anywhere in the country and online. So I think this is actually a pretty good get for us.
So it's 36 commercials. 18 of them will have the L board, where we'll have New York Bridge run for more green. And hopefully by that time, you know, in the summertime, we'll be running for, Mary Maiden's running for maybe 70,000 or whatever. I hope.
And if he gets a couple of winners, he might actually say nice things. Questions or comments on the three proposals? We'll do them as one unless someone has an objection to any one in particular in the interest of time.
What's the total amount?
20.
20 grand. I'd make a motion to accept this proposal.
A motion by Mr. McMahon to accept the three promotional proposals that the executive director has put forward. Mr. Kelly seconds. Discussion? All those in favor? Aye. Opposed? Okay.
Still get 10%.
Next. next item.
Thing I get.
At our meeting in October.
But I'll go back to the board if you want to get the tomorrow. You say I want it today.
Just speak up then.
You need to have
John
come into the office and let him do the negotiating.
Yeah. Right. And if they don't like it, put some concrete in their life.
Well, I didn't tell you, we don't provide those kind of shoes.
He's heard that one before.
At our meeting in October of last year, I asked the committee to provide a discussion of a scholarship program when Harry Snyder was not present. Jeff Canizzo and John Tessero serving
John
on the
Graziano.
I'm sorry, John Graziano serving on the committee, excuse me. The committee met on February 8th, and the minutes of which are in your packet. At our last meeting, we discussed allocating $15,000 from the 2012 budget to fund six $2,500 scholarships for students attending SUNY schools that provide equine or agricultural courses. I want to thank the members of the committee for their work on this. And Tracy, you have more details for us?
Well, we've heard back from the school since the committee made the recommendations. Cornell got back to us and wanted to know, could they also use it on the graduate level? I got in touch with the committee. They said yes, they were fine with that. I told Cornell, yes, wherever you see it, wherever you think it can have the best fit, you know, we're all on the same page. We all want to help young people who have an interest in horses and agriculture demonstrate that and hopefully one day stay here in New York and help the entire industry. So, and I've heard back from all the colleges and they're all extremely pleased.
I'll note for the record, this spending is allowable under the statutes that establish the fund, and that statute obliges us to promote and encourage youth of the breeding and raising of New York breeds and to promote general interest in agricultural pursuits. The scholarships will be divided between SUNY Cobleskill, Cornell's state-funded wing, I guess you call it, or institution, and SUNY Morrisville. That's all I have.
I just want to make one correction. The scholarship really was, I guess I called it minutes, and I should have called it a report, because scholarship minutes have to be gone over by each of the members and approved. And so that was my report coming out of the committee meeting.
Mr. Graziano or Mr. Canizzo, anything to add?
No, I think we met. We came up with a good good program that has a lot of participation from the schools, and it meets our objectives. So,
Jeff, anything? Jeff, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. No, I think that it's a great maneuver for the fund, and we should move forward with it.
Any further questions or comments? Well, okay, someone want to make a motion that we have these six scholarships divided in the manner spoken about earlier? Motion by someone, Mr. Graziano?
I'll make the motion.
Is there a second?
Oh, sorry.
Second by Mr. Tessero. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None opposed. Motion is passed. new business. Anyone have any business to bring before the fun board? I will just note that most of you know that we are the subject of an audit by the state controller. The one aspect of the audit has already been mentioned in public that didn't involve the fund, but was tripped by them looking at the fund. That audit is wrapping up, and we should be able to discuss the findings and our response to the audit at the next meeting, and hopefully it'll be pleasant medicine, as those audits are often stressful, but I'm pretty confident we're in good shape. That's it, I guess. If no one has any other business, I would like to note also that the Racing Fan Advisory Council, which the Racing and Wagering Board has established, will have a meeting March 3rd at Aqueduct Racetrack. Representatives of both NYRA and Genting will be there, and there'll be a tour of the facility as well, and I invite you or anyone you know that wants to participate to do so. The next meeting of the Fund Board is tentatively scheduled for Thursday, May 10th, at the newly reopened at that time National Museum of Racing in Saratoga Springs. If there's nothing else, I'll accept the motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Graziano, second by Mr. Kelly. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much for your attendance.